This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Dear listeners, welcome to a grey and overcast London Road in Peterborough. Joining me, he's been in Wetherspoons, he's had a couple, he's going to give you some fruity opinions, is Mr. Harry Warren.
Good afternoon, dear listeners.
Also alongside him, not seen since the Leeds game, Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
You all right?
A man of few words.
2,500 mil will come up here, dear listeners. The police operation is... quite oppressive, H. Quite heavy-handed so far. I mean, I walked past one place, I parked down the road, and they're videoing me as I'm walking past.
Yeah, they're videoing us in a pub, videoing us now. There's what? What's that, about 10, 15 coppers in front of us?
Yeah.
No real need. Fucking shouts of you need a mask in the ground from the announcement from them.
I've seen masks downstairs, Harry.
I think you've got two hopes.
You've got two hopes, very little and none. We're enforcing that rule. That comes in next Saturday, listeners. The club in a very invidious position, Harry. I mean, I don't know what they can do. They've got to enforce the law, but, you know, we were just talking off air, listeners, about the rights and wrongs of it all and the hypocrisy that we've seen all week in government circles. How you're going to enforce that, I don't know. And it's going to be the minimum wage stewards that stand outside are going to get the shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, as I said, like, for me, you don't need to be lectured by anyone. Your personal choice is your personal choice.
And I think that's it. The rest of it, yeah.
That's it. And I don't believe, and this is my opinion, and I have no opinion on whether or not you've taken a vaccine, listener, but you can't be, as a politician, pro-choice and pro-vaccine passport. That would be my thing. It is people's choice is what they do with their own body.
You also can't be pissing it up at Christmas parties when you're instructing the country to do otherwise,
this is true, but the Labour politicians...
Oh, no, I make that point across the board.
No, but this is their chance to strike, and he thanked him for his new daughter, so that's your fucking chances.
Enough politics, we're going to kick off very shortly, listeners. I think it's an unchanged team from the Birmingham, very impressive win against Birmingham. Lions this afternoon, they're kind of a Spurs-style, brilliant white shirt with dark blue shorts. So we're about to kick off. Lions are attacking the Western Homes end. Away with the grey skies of Peterborough above us, dear listeners. We're in the Desk.com co-working space. The romance of football hasn't died in Peterborough, and away we go. We're behind one end, so the view isn't my ideal choice. I'd love to be on the side, and we were in the side stand last time we came here, which would be 2015, dear listeners. A 5-3 loss. Were you up here for that one, H?
I didn't come. That was in the days of 4-4-2 and Dyaks.
Neil Harris and Lee Gregory and Steve Morrison up front.
Yeah.
Incidentally, listeners, there was a steward doing the rounds below me who looks for all the world with his mask on, like Steve Morrison. I don't think it is Morrow, but he looked like him. They say everyone's got a double, and I think Morrow's double.
He was in Peterborough
working as a steward. Peterborough wearing a kind of an Arsenal style shirt, only with blue with white sleeves. The away end is rocking, dear listener. That's still terracing down the end there, that far end, that home end is terracing. it's old fashioned terracing. I mean,
well, I know, but like, presumably, if you've got that already, wouldn't you just fucking go in for that trial?
I would have thought, but the whole stand looks like it's in the. I mean, it's an old stand.
Wouldn't you have thought you would have made your away end that?
I would have done that, yeah.
Rather than.
Maybe they don't want 2,000 mil standing up down there.
Jumping up and down, yes.
9.5 minutes, comes almost 10 minutes, going to be a left sided corner for the Lions. Been a bright start by Millwall.
Yeah, the discussion from the chaps has been that number 10 looks like Fred on.
He does, yeah.
As good as him as well with that missed kick shot.
That was very Fred, wasn't it? He does like Fred.
Take it right back off from the crunching challenge by Danny McNamara.
He's taken the three out of the game.
Danny Mac, if you are listening, and I know you are a Millwall fan, that was fucking top quality play.
That is proper Millwall. Early crunching time, Daniel Max taking out the 3:21, replacements coming in. We're still waiting to take this left-sided corner, listeners. He's hobbling off like went before I did my back in. I walked off like that. Kind of Groucho Marx style.
Yeah.
Only slower.
I think you moved quicker when you had your heart attack, mate.
Left-sided corner, Scott Malone will take there, listeners. Taking it short. Another one into the middle. That was almost one of those set pieces. It's been cleared. We should have a Guinness Book of Records, the tallest picture of the tallest man ever lived. It looks a bit like Jake set against that little bloke
just,
there.
Just lift that. Yeah. What have you got to do with that free kick? Not do too much of it, just hit that back.
Left side, Jed, it's long. That is too long. Too long. Going for a goal kick. George Evans carving himself a little bit of a reputation.
The first thing I've ever seen positive other than the goal. Well done, Evans. Okay. He strikes me as a bit like, he could turn into one of them Millwall players that you don't know what they do, but they actually do quite a lot when he's not in the
David
team.
David Livermore realize, style player,
He's got a bit of passing ability about him as well, Evans, I think.
He showed that last week.
He did, yeah.
First time, really.
Because he gives it away a bit, but then when he grows into the game, he's actually a bit more consistent. But I still don't know what to make of Evans.
No, the jury's out on him, I think.
To be fair, isn't it lovely to have George Chappell on the bench thinking that he's a lot better than what you've got on?
Yeah.
At his best.
Yeah.
Because I'd quite like to see Keefton belled again, really, but I mean, he's nowhere near the team at the moment, which is a bit.
Well, he's just brought in as a kind of a destroyer, isn't he? A bit killer,
destroyer. You know.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I can see him.
It goes straight down the left side, ball into the middle. From close, ball in from the left. Jed Wallace finds Tom Bradshaw loose. 1-0 Millwall!
Super Jed Wallace.
He said free man. Assassin.
What did I say about Bradshaw?
The away end has gone bonkers, listeners.
The goal machine, Tom Bradshaw.
Nice finish.
They missed the ball for that. Was not happening.
I mean, all joking aside, those chances got to be put away. That's got to be done. He did it.
Give him a contract.
What we haven't done a lot this season is be clinical, but we were there.
He was there.
That's what we have to
do.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott Malone.
They've not scored in 5 games, which is a bit weird.
But you can see, why, Mike.
You can.
Held on that they're going to equalise now because of Mike and Nick talking about fucking this one's going in.
We tempted Lady Fate.
But Peterborough are known for an attacking soul, so it's a bit strange that they've not scored for 5 games.
They always find non-league players with pace and power.
They do.
That's
a poor ball by Malone. Gives the ball in midfield. He's had to take one for the team now. He'll get a yellow for that.
I think
that's harsh.
I think it is a harsh yellow.
He made the mistake and then corrected it with a free kick.
It was a foul, that's not a foul.
You've seen him not given, but yeah.
That works quite a lot.
I think we've got to keep it tight. We've got to keep it tight because while they've looked nothing up front, if we keep giving the ball cheaply, they'll nick one, won't they?
We haven't played well.
We haven't. No.
Well.
Not done brilliant.
Game, we've not had most of the ball at all, really.
There's another free kick over there, another cheap free kick to be absolutely honest. Murray Wallace concedes on the left side of the penalty area.
attacking.
Halfway through the first half, it's going to be a Peterborough free kick on their right, our left, as we look from our away end. Chance to float the ball into the middle.
It's quite a lot of nice flags. I didn't realise how many nice flags we've got.
Big Bigsy and Ruby, we fear no foe. Brings us together, let them come. Can't quite see who that's dedicated to, but there's some really nice flags, as Harry says.
They've got a chance to score.
Here it comes from the left. It's floated into the middle. That's a good save down long by Bart Bielkowski. A little touch on a well-flighted ball, actually. That was a decent save there, boys.
Fuck off, Pierce.
Alex Pierce. I mean, that was a cursory clap by Pierce as well, wasn't it? It was a very, very, you know.
I know, I shouldn't be here. Alex Mitchell deserves to be in the side more than that cup.
I was reading that they're going to leave him on loan at Orient for the season.
Kenny Jackett's really loving him down there.
He's a big boy. There's a picture of him.
He's only about 19.
He's built like a shithouse.
My brother's got a mate that who goes to Orient. He's not an Orient fan. He just watches Orient because they're like the
A lot do that.
He reckons he's outstanding.
In a couple
ball breaks. Here comes Benica Fobe coming down the centre. He's got no one with him. Oh, he gets flattered there. That's got to be a free kick. Edge of a penalty area, just short of the penalty area.
Jed Wallace territory, you're right.
Jed Wallace, that was a nice run by Benning Afobo to draw the free kick there, I thought.
Lovely, go 2-0 up. Let's wrap this up. Samuel! Yeah, you don't get that kind of love, do you, Pierce? He looks at us like a lecherous wife, like looking at your wife that you know is having an affair, but you can't prove it.
Well, you're a party and your woman's talking to some other bloke and you're looking at him, you cunt.
I could be with her. I could be your George Savile.
Saying about Alex Mitchell, I mean, if we're looking for a Hutchinson replacement in a couple of years, he could step right in those shoes.
Yeah, he's looking very much that way.
Yes.
Free kick time for Jed Wallace, dear listeners.
He actually suits Malone. Definitely,
that's Malone. Here we go. It's a shot, it takes a deflection. Bad deflection, and away from the goal, in actual fact. Here come Peterborough, dear listeners.
Halfway inside
the Millwall half. They spray the ball about quite nicely. Great work there by Danny Mack. Again. Corner taken short. Here's the 11 on the edge of the penalty area. There's a shot over the bar. He was given a little bit of tonner and charged him down well there, but a better player might have got it on target, mightn't he?
Three Millwall charged him down. I mean, they're looking League One level, right? But that's not an excuse. The goal we scored was quality, like in terms of...
The opportunity, the move, and then the opportunity had to be brought away,
We spread it out from Cooper to Wallace to Malone. Malone overlapped into Wallace. Wallace, front post, Bradshaw. Like that's a quick passing move, attack to defence, defence to attack. That's great. That's probably Gary Rowett 101, but since then we've been shit. Before that we've been crap. It's not a way performance. You'll take one, you'll win. I don't care if we don't have another kick.
Would you say that Peterborough have reduced that? The level's not great, is it, that we're seeing out there at the moment?
That's a foul.
We kind of dragged us down.
Yeah, they dragged us to their level. But like, there's a chance there to play the ball that Danny's
taken. Danny and Matt going down the right side. Overhit.
To be honest, the reason today's got like a carnival atmosphere in your way in is because a lot of people won't maybe come because of
the restrictions will put a lot off. I was looking at the club website, listeners, about how you might be able to get in, presuming that you do come to the Palace game.
You need your
COVID passport, which is downloaded off of the gov.org website, I think. No, the NHS app, isn't it? That's
off you can get it off the app. If you don't want to get the app, you can go onto the NHS, basically a backdoor idea, and if you've got an Apple iPhone, you can put it in your wallet.
What was funny, Harry said if it was in place today, good luck to the Peterborough stewards.
Well, you imagine trying to do that on the Palace game. Can you imagine
it? Yeah, no chance.
Blokes would pay £30 to get in there, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we were on the train and people were on the wrong train having a go at the bloody bloke. I mean, you know, that's not even to do with COVID, do you know what I mean? Imagine COVID.
Minimum wage, I wouldn't do it for a tenner an hour, I'll tell you that much.
As we waffle on this.
This is the corner for Peterborough, as we're talking about. It's floated into the nippers. To the danger here, but there was pushing and shoving, Harry.
I think we cleared it anyway, but yeah. That's fine.
But you can do a lateral flow test
if you have,
and you go on the Gov website and get a proof of some sort. I think it's like a text message that
you
show.
So from my knowledge of doing it from home, it ain't as bad as you'd think it was. But
it's not as it's complex to a level, but not massively complex, if that makes any sense.
It's worth saying it's the law, it's not the club's decision.
No,
as well.
it's what's been imposed on us.
We've got to do it. So.
I mean, whether you agree with it or not, unfortunately, it's a bit.
Well, the only other choice is don't go, which I know is not a great choice, but that's if you really, if your principles don't allow it, then you've got to take that choice. But that's not. There's a little jink for front of the Fred lookalike, the 10. What can he do? Shot into Murray Wallace. Oh, really gives the ball away. It's a shot that's taking a deflection. It's going to go for a right-sided corner. Little moments panic there. I thought the 10, the Fred lookalike was through there, boys.
I did, but there was why did Billy Mitchell try and chip a fucking player on his own?
Loss of reason. As it is, it's a right side, left side from their point of view. Corner, 221. We'll take. 32 minutes. Dembele is the Fred lookalike. Ball into the middle. That's not dealt with very well. We're looking a little bit sluggish. Nicely dealt with there, though. Here comes Evans, gives the ball away and gets clattered. That's a free kick. I was just going to slate him for giving a poor ball away there, and he drew a free kick.
Did see him coming. To be honest, it's a bit, the referee's neck, he sort of got to a level where any contact is a foul.
Yeah.
So it's making this very easy to, if you see the game that well, you'll be fine. Nick's, I'm letting you in behind the scene here. Nick's had to pull off his leather gloves to now go looking for facts.
13.8 million would have lost this last year, up from 10.7 the year before.
So 3 million quid COVID.
Yeah, covered, of course, by John Berylson. What a nice man. Obviously, lockdown has been that expensive.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more.
Well, also, in amongst that will be the club's roll forward of the season tickets, which for this year, I mean, they rolled forward the amounts paid last year, which...
£3 million in the grand scheme of things, a lot of Millwall money, but I reckon there'll be clubs that are worse off than us.
Oh, way, way worse off, yeah. I mean...
just shows how well run we are.
It's the Millwall part, as you say there, the Millwall context. 34 minutes. There was a moment I thought we were going to get a penalty there.
Yeah, they're trying to play a bit of football, Peterborough, but I mean, we're sitting so deep they just can't get
past
it. I'm not being funny with it. This is not like, this is almost, and I've never said this before, you almost need a Kifton Bell and Evans. It's just so
just
deep.
Just to break it up.
You need Jimmy Abdu in there.
Basically, So you can get the one who's, I mean, what, we've already got who's on the yellow already? Malone's on the yellow.
They seem to have gone through the midfield slightly easily at times, which I think that's your point there, Mike, really, the Kifton Bell.
Yeah, it is.
I really don't think we should be losing this game from here. I mean, this is a game we ought to be winning, taking 3 points back.
It was a game you should be winning on paper, which is normally the games
from
that
we've seen so far.
Yeah.
We don't deserve to be ahead of that.
No, but now you are ahead, you can't lose from here. That's right. True. And you can't really get a point from here. That would still be a...
If we draw here, that would feel like a loss.
The crowd's got a bit flat as well for the Millwall end.
There's nothing to get behind.
There's not.
I mean, we're all probably looking at the table, and we don't. We're always, when you're in the ground, you're always at a disadvantage to everyone who's listening to this, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know how the other results are going, and all you can think of is that you want to end
you want to end the day in the top six would be a massive start to fucking December. It's
going
a big
into, going into the Christmas time, yeah, I agree.
We said in the pub before, I mean, we're 4 points off sixth now, so there's a slight gap.
Yeah, you don't want to be too far.
Exactly. I mean, if the ambition is getting the top six, you win today.
It's a free kick float. If it falls, that's going to be offside. A lot of offsides.
Pushing it back, I think.
Well, a dull game does the police's work for it. It was better than anything, Harry, didn't it? No one's going to get overexcited with the bulk of the game so far, dear listeners.
A little bit of possession
for Peterborough, dear listeners. Just outside the, about halfway inside the middle half. Well, back and forth. 41 minutes. It's been fairly mundane fare, to be honest. Push backwards and backwards. Lions leading it. If we weren't leading it, as I said earlier on, we would probably be a little bit more unhappy. As it is being ahead, it takes some of the edge off of it.
There's no pressing going on there.
No, we're very much behind the ball and we're just sitting waiting for it to come to us.
It's the comparison against home where, you know, against Birmingham we press so high.
Yeah.
Here we're just sitting back and just letting them kind of have the ball and just trying to grind it out.
Yeah. Looking for the proverbial second goal, really, and that's how we're going to do it.
We're not looking very hard.
That shit.
Here they come down the left. There's a 10, a little bit of space opened up there. Great tackle there by Murray Wallace.
He's done that twice now.
Yeah.
Ever dependable Murray Wallace.
He is.
He won them with Murray Wallace.
Well, there's half time. Lions leading at the break. Not one for the football purists, the lovers of a beautiful game there, Harry, but enough.
Any Millwall 1-0 lead at half time is beautiful.
Danny Mack probably my standout from that half so far. Otherwise, we've sat behind the ball a lot and let them come on to us. And so far, living on our nerves a little bit, but we've done okay.
Yeah, living on the nerves, but at the end of the day, they've done the job. They took the 1-0 lead against them at the play, and that's a perfect away performance, really.
So far, so good. We're back after these messages, dear listeners.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Teams are coming back out for the second half. There is this general consensus around the internet. Doug in Sweden, everyone was that wasn't a great half of football. Very poor display generally by Millwall, but thankfully better to be in front in a poor display than behind. So it's probably about as much as we can say. We do seem to have been content to sit behind the ball. I do worry at half time that if we keep on containing and sitting behind the ball, that Peterborough will press for a goal. They've not been brilliant in front of goal, but you can give them chances, they will get something. The ponytail goalkeeper is drawing a little ribaldry from the away fans, the Millwall end. It's kind of got like a Croydon facelift style long hair with pulled back into a ponytail. You know the style. what I mean, listeners. Second half is underway, listeners. Mill now attacking the away fans. This is Danny Mack coming down the right. A little bit more purposeful, shall we say, in the opening seconds, at least, of the second half. This is Bennett Afobe just in front of the D, dispossessed unfortunately. And free kick conceded. So that was the end of that purposeful period. There's the 11, ball in from the right side, that's cleared again.
That's really bad for.
We seem to be content to be sitting behind the ball. I know that Peterborough are pressing us at the moment, but we
really need to do something with the midfield or drop one. Because if we're not going forward, so you've either got a.
I think, as Mike said, it might be a Keithton Bell situation.
It's getting worse all the time. Like Bradshaw and Afobe, like there's no one near them for 30 yards.
Our ball's out from defence are finding blue shirts each time. So Peterborough on the left now. Pressing forwards.
We need the crowd to get behind us and lift us. They need 5 minutes.
This is the 11 from distance. That's on target. Batted over by Bart Bell. Comes out a swerving shot. Dealt with nicely by Bart there, Harry.
Yeah, good save. I think he over sort of moved right and then realised it was going back to his left. Good save.
51 minutes. Going to be a corner. Right sided corner of Peterborough. I still can't get past your idea of Keithton Bell, because I think that's probably, we need someone to make it a bit more painful in midfield, don't we?
We can't get the ball, no. That's the problem. So Keithton Bell has been pressing.
Nicely done there, Murray Wallace. He's found Brandis. Tom Bradshaw. Finally, we draw a free kick. I think he was looking for that, boys. Bradshaw draws a free kick in the centre circle, just takes a sting. Away from the situation.
It's one of those games where I think if it was 0-0, I would be really pissed off.
Yeah, but it's the 1-0.
But we won out.
Yeah.
And you're all right with that.
Yeah. And Peterborough on the break forwards, trying to lift the ball into the danger zone. One each, lifted over down the middle of the defence, lifted over by Bill Koski for 1-1. Poor goal. No, we keep giving the possession, but they pass it well.
We're lucky to be ahead, and now we've got to try and play.
Yeah. It's a 16 on the left, ball into the middle, the 9. Another chance, near post ball, we're living on our nerves, listeners.
Good at home or good away. We can't.
No, we don't consistent. String it together, do we?
So finally, we're quite good at home. We seem shit away from home again.
This is a left-sided corner, listeners. And it comes deep. Back, punched away by Bart. We've sat back and let them come on to us. And then you wonder why we're now one each. 2-1. Make that 2-1. Ball in from the right side. Headed in from close. 2-1. Drawing some abuse down here,
right? We fucking nailed on. We said at half time, we said fucking at full time. Like, up in the goal.
Very poor. Fucking poor performance.
Again.
Said that lad Johnson Clark Harris was warming up and he said he's not scored, he's not done very well this season. He's scored,
scored for five games,
yeah, and he's scored two. Yeah.
Gary Rowett, your football is shit. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's that. I've waited so fucking long. Gary Rowett, your football is shit. Quick, Gary's back. Tell you 2-1 for the Ipswich job.
Get off his fucking bench. That's what I want to see. It's just sitting there. I mean, you want to see a manager with your 2-1 down?
He sat very, very. He sat down doing nothing.
It's not quite hiding in the dugout, but it's. He should be out there. Being
more
2-1
animation.
We should be winning this game. Well, I mean, the 2,500 Millwall here. Ready for some festive cheer, and we're not fucking seeing it.
No, we're not.
He's built.
Here comes Tom Bradshaw.
I don't know. I think he's got a team that are better than what he's playing. That's my opinion there.
This game has been, been a very, very lacklustre performance. Since we've gone a goal ahead, and then since then we've sat back waiting for 90 minutes, haven't we? I mean, anyone watching this game would have said, well, we can't keep doing that because they're going to draw them on.
Like, I don't understand it if, like, Peterborough are, like, top of the table, but they're shit.
Well, they're third from bottom of the table. Exactly. With Derby underneath them. They're second from bottom, really.
I think if there's any ambition to try and finish top six, you have to beat teams like this.
Well, we said at half-time, this is not a game, no matter how bad we played, that we didn't lose.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be losing from here.
We shouldn't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We were lucky to be ahead, and we...
Well, you get to draw your luck, you take it, you bank it.
Yeah, you do.
Two man substitution, Matt Smith and
Matt
Mason
Smith
Bennett.
Panic button.
Three man, Ojo's coming in as well.
Three changes, Mason Bennett.
That's panic stations, aren't it? We said you need to tighten up the midfield. They're running through us. All through the first half, we said.
All the people under the previous regime that used to say never used to make substitutions.
Wallace comes.
So he takes Wallace, shit off.
Wallace comes out. The creative flow that we've got.
You don't know what you're doing.
Malone and Wallace come out. I don't understand that, do you?
Never take Jed.
Well, no, because he's the one player that can do the unusual.
There's always a little bit of magic in Jed. He can be shit for 89 minutes and they'll score a free kick from 30 yards. Never take him.
Player coming off is number 23, Nathan Brady, to be replaced
by number 10, Murray Wallace.
Murray Wallace playing left wing back here.
I mean, he'll be willing enough, but he's not got the...
It's not a dig at Murray Wallace. It's a dig that he's been put in that position by his manager. Like, that's... It's just ridiculous. We've gone backwards, like, in this game. Like, you're 1-0 up, hold the lead. Then when you don't hold the lead anymore, you have to react then. Don't wait until they go 2-1 up.
What you said before, Nick, if you can't hold a 1-0 lead, what is the point in Gary Rowett away from home?
Well, that is his point. That's all he's about.
Exactly, yeah. We didn't do that many times.
And we've looked so poor. If you're going to kill the game. Do it professionally, do it right.
A lot of us would accept Gary Rowett if he was winning.
Balling from the rise towards...
Ojo just so lackadaisical at the back post.
Over the head of Matt Smith there. Ojo's got it on the... rain is now pouring down. Finds Mason Bennett. Skids. He's still got the balls inside the penalty area. Shot. Blocks. 13 minutes to go, dear listeners, 77 minutes. I wonder if this is a turning point. I mean, I've not heard anything like that en masse like that. You get comments. I mean, where I'm seeing you'll hear it on the show. Blokes having a go at Rowett, but it's not like a collective chant or whatever you want to call it.
I think it's the frustration of not knowing what we are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we trying to push for the playoffs or are we just mid-table again, you know? And I think we all want to try and get in the top six, but you see performances like this and just think, what are we fucking doing? We're better than that, you know?
For me, the league is a very poor league, right? And this is our best chance.
Yeah, right? It is.
Right? Because it's not very good.
No, right? I agree.
And the fact of the matter is that we're being outplayed by a team that are third bottom. Admittedly, at their grand, but
they're actually second from bottom, because Derby, I think, are a disproportionate position.
Yeah, I agree.
Second worst side.
Yeah, they're the second worst side in the table. This has been, given that in eighth position, we're 3 points off the playoffs. League table wise, some people not having seen this would say, well, you're being unjustifiably harsh in your take on it.
But watch this.
I think it's been such a drab and mundane performance and so clueless in tactical terms.
What is this?
This is the 9. I thought he was through on goal then for a moment.
That's the frustration. It's, you know, what's our ambition this year? I think that's what it is, because we came here expecting to win today and try.
And we should have won it.
Yes.
We should have won it.
You know, we We don't do mid-table very well as Millwall fans.
No, we don't. No.
We need it. We need what's the word? We need absolutes. We either need to be fighting relegation or fighting promotion.
Because we can't do average at the game. And this is what this is.
This is very, very, very average.
No, this ain't average.
This is shit today.
There's Billy Mitch. He's got Mason Bennett on his left side. Billy Mitch in there. That's a corner. It's a corner.
Yeah, he did. He kicked
off. Referee gives a goal kick.
No, he kicked it.
There it is, full time. Millwall go down 2-1 at Peterborough. In my opinion, the poorest performance under Gary Rowett's management. A winning position at half-time H against bottom three opponents, and we've looked second best from the moment we went ahead. I don't know what to say. I'm actually a little bit lost for words after that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him getting fucking booed.
There you go. Good enough. Boos for the players that have come down to the Millwall end. The whole thing feels very toxic. We're going to sign off from London Road, Peterborough. I've had enough of this for one afternoon, Dennis. Big thank you to Mike Hayden for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Nick. Cheers.
Thank you, H.
See you, mate.
And thank you to the listeners.
Your football is shit.
Hi Nick, it's Angelo, mate. Been to the game today. A couple of positives that I want to point out straight away was obviously our goal was superb, mate, and the away fans, just brilliant, mate. Deserved a lot better performance. Obviously, I think we're a bit lucky to go in 1-0 up, but we'll take it. Second half, mate, this is where I think Gary Rowett did get it wrong. The first 20 minutes, Peterborough were all over us. That little kid Dembele was running the show. In my opinion, at that time, he needs to bring on more midfielders, pack out the midfield, and try and nullify the young kid. And what does Gary Rowett do? He waits till we're 2-1 down before making the changes. I don't get it, mate. I just don't get that. He needed to make the changes, you know, the first 15 minutes of the second half. And then the one that really blew my mind is we're 2-1 down, and he decides to take Jed off, which is crazy. It's beyond crazy to take him off. You know, he's only playing one game a week. We ain't got midweek games, can't be tired. So, yeah, I think Gary Rowett got it wrong there, mate. Needs to make the subs earlier, bring on the midfielders, and I think we might be able to sneak at least a draw or even hold out. But, yeah, very disappointing day. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Mehlball.
We made far too many fouls first half. You know, we have to defend better than that. You have to stay on your feet and defend and deal with those little bits of movement. We didn't do that, but still, to go in 1-0 up at half-time, you know, we changed it formation because I felt as though we needed to do something just to change the performance level. Second half was fairly similar. We couldn't stop them getting balls into little pockets and we certainly didn't deal with the movement. The two goals are a classic case. The first one, the player drops off as our back four. We don't go with him. And then there's two players, one of which is Clark Harris, who runs behind four of our players. And he gets in the other side. I don't know whether maybe Danny just toes it rather than Clark Harris, but they end up scoring to make it 1-1. And then at that point you think, OK, well, if that doesn't liven us up, then nothing will. Ball goes wide. We amble out to the ball. We let the ball come in the box. And Clark Harris is on his own at the back post to tap in. So again, ridiculous goal for us to concede, to be honest with you. And we haven't kept enough clean sheets this season. I think we've kept four. All season, and sometimes away games you've got to dig in and be resilient. Sometimes you've got to use the ball better. I think we fell short in both areas today. We've seen in a lot of the games they end up with a lot of bodies caught forward. So if you can defend properly as a team, then that's what happens. You open spaces up. We're good on the counter. We showed that with a goal, and then we just didn't quite do it with the same quality and composure after that. But yeah, look, our forwards have stepped up in terms of what they need to do. What I could argue today is for them to score a very good counter-attacking goal. They need better quality, better service, more quality, more service into them, or to allow them to make those attacks. And then they have to be able to rely sometimes on the defenders keeping a clean sheet, even when we don't play well as a game, in the game. And I think, you know, today we didn't do that. But yeah, it looks great for Bradders to get another goal. But again, it's hard to see any real positives today because I thought that, you know, I was quite embarrassed with the performance at times, but at the same time, I don't want to take that away from Peterborough because I thought they were excellent and they were thoroughly deserving of a victory.
Big thank you to Angelo for leaving that voicemail message. Do leave us your voicemails, listeners. We're always welcome, always interested to hear what the views of our support are. 0208 144 0232. This is being recorded on a fairly tough Sunday morning, I suppose. Sunday morning nightmare we used to have, didn't we, on the show. Trying to put some perspective on that very disappointing loss yesterday. We do try and pride ourselves on this show for keeping it, you know, in perspective. Let's just begin by saying what a disappointing loss that was. As we've just heard from Gary Rowett there, the manager himself says it was embarrassing. It was certainly embarrassing to be in the London Road Stadium, and especially in that second half, as effectively a capitulation took place by what is, let's not forget, a fairly decent Millwall squad by Mill standards. It's something that defeats the mind slightly, how we can lurch from a pretty good performance last week against Birmingham. Okay, Birmingham weren't brilliant, but we certainly beat them convincingly. How do you lurch with an unchanged side from last week's show to yesterday's debacle? As Jake Sanders put it very well, actually, on social media, one of the first posts I saw when I got back to my car yesterday, Jake says, a dreadful afternoon for Millwall, one of the lowest points of the Gary Rowett era. Three shots on target against a team inside the bottom three is poor. And to concede 21 shots, I haven't seen any of the statistics yet, Jake, 21 shots on goal, considering Posh hadn't scored for 7.5 hours, is even worse. Huge opportunity missed. I think that goes to the heart of it, because going into yesterday's game, I think we were 3 points off of the sixth spot and we were looking upwards. We were hungry to push ourselves into the playoff contention. I think we've got to be realistic after that. I know there's a lot of the season yet to go and we are striving not to overreact to a very poor performance yesterday. But I don't think we can think of ourselves in the current setup as playoff contenders, and the reason for that is that we seem to lack the that essential spine, that will, that surge not to accept what's coming your way. As the second half wore on, there was no leadership on field or off field, for that matter. At the same time, I've got another message here on Twitter from a chap called Greg Kensel. Greg says, I went to the game today and I've been following Millwall for 23 of my 28 years, and he could reel off some incredibly worse performances than yesterday. So why is a Millwall team and manager taking stick with 25 minutes to go in a game that's still in the balance? Who do we think we are? Asks Greg. I mean, I would say in reply to that, Greg, I mean, you have a kernel, a nugget of something in that post, and I don't want to diminish that, because I think there is a certain, you know, in the heat of battle, on a freezing cold day in the pouring rain, as we all were there yesterday, logic tends to go out the window a little bit, and people do overreact. I don't know. Equally, you can't always be logical. You can't always be calm. Sometimes situations do demand an irrational answer. Mightn't be a very good way to put it, but, you know, the outburst of the crowd yesterday chanting, your football is shit, at Gary Rowett, was also touching on a truth. Your truth is correct. There have been a hell of a lot worse performances in the last 25 years. We all know the names and the managers, and almost certainly we could name the games and the performances. But that doesn't help now. We are supposedly, and we've assembled a squad that is supposedly designed to press for a top six finish. That's the aim. That's the purpose of it all. And we seem to be some way short of that. And the question then has to arise, Why is that? Do we just accept that? Because once upon a time, Holloway messed up against Norwich, springs to mind, you know, 2014, 13, whenever it was. Does that impact on now? It doesn't. We are talking about the here and now. We're talking about a fairly, by Millwall standards, expensively assembled squad. We're running 13 million point something loss this year, which John Berylson covers. All of that is being covered because there must be some superior plan to try to achieve, at least for one season, Premier League status in order to wipe the slate clean. It was a huge opportunity missed indeed, as Jake Sanders has put already. 2,500 fans travelled up there, listeners. It was a good atmosphere. You would have heard that on the live footage we did. 2,500 fans fired up. I mean, I'm stone cold like the judge because I've driven up there, but a lot of the boys were clearly up for a big day out. And we made a good start, decently taken goal, nice move, and it's happy days. The problem arose as soon as we went one ahead. We seemed to just sit back, as we've said during the game. Why are we allowing Peterborough to pass the ball back and forth? And if you keep giving a team possession, even though they are bottom three, they clearly weren't brilliant in front of goal, and though they did make changes during the course of the game, and I think that's going to be something that we'll come back to. They did make changes during the game, and they reacted to what they saw in front of them, which is the mark of good quality football management. The thing that struck me with Gary Rowett's post-match interview is he keeps repeating this thing that we want to aim to be higher than where we are. A lot of it comes back to the players. I think that was an unchanged side from a decent performance last week. You do have to look at professional players. I can't remember who it was on Twitter. Forgive me, whoever posted this, but there was a line about expecting professional footballers to be able to at least pass the ball to each other and to make tackles and to, I would go further slightly, to see the pattern of a game as it's developing. Is it too much, listeners, to expect professionals, midfielders particularly, but also, you know, defenders? I'm talking here about Jake Cooper, Sean Hutchinson, Murray Wallace, Danny Mack. I know he's younger. But as you see a team like Peterborough starting to pass the ball with impunity backwards and forwards across our half and starting to work chances that weren't taken, we need to push forwards. We seem to sit deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, when that's happening, who on the pitch is taking charge of that situation? Who's the leader? Where is that person? I didn't see it yesterday. I do also look at Gary Rowett on the bench. To some extent, his body language is, he's not a demonstrative manager. I'm a bit mistrustful of demonstrative managers, but anyway, he was sat on the bench for a long period of the game. And that seems to send a message of passivity, where we as mere paying customers were saying that we need to tighten up in the midfield. Maybe it was, strangely, a day to go full Rowett, bring on Michael Kieftenbeld, possibly George Saville, take your pick, and tighten up midfield. That was not done. And we pay the price in the end. No on-field leadership. No off-field leadership, management, none that I could see. And yes, you do have professional players that have failing to do what they have been paid quite well to do. The frustrating part about it was that I still believe that the players individually and collectively are better than that performance. Whether they're better than the tactics are allowing to be is something that I don't have an answer to. But one thing that does strike me is the impact in a coldly ruthless game like football. You look at other clubs, the impact of a change of manager. Starting to talk about it now, listeners. You know, the crowd certainly made its feelings plain yesterday. You will have heard that in the live footage. But I'm looking at the likes of Steve Cooper at Forest, who has transformed their form this season from relegation contenders and has taken them up the table. It pains me to even say it. If you look down at Charlton, Johnny Jackson, I know they're in League One and I know they're Charlton and I get all that. But again, they were looking at the bottom of the table. Now they're mid-table because they've strung some results together. That could all finish, you know, both clubs could hit the rocks of form. But as we saw when Gary Rowett first arrived, a change of manager at a crucial part of the season can transform the fortunes of a club. Question arises as to whether that moment is here and now. We'll go round in circles on that one, because there are those out there that, you know, won't entertain that idea, and there are others that won't think of anything else. But I think the truth has to lie somewhere between those two polar opposites. I do wonder whether the management of the club, and that's going to be Steve Cavanagh talking to John Barrelson, are starting to weigh up whether a change of jockey might make the horse run faster. I don't know. But going into a big Christmas with January's window looming, Gary Rowett's Millwall are at best a fits and starts kind of side. We win 1 week, we lose the next, and the only thing consistent about us is being inconsistent. We're not a defensive side, not really. We're not very good at it, if that's where we're setting up to be. We're very average, let's put it that way. The league table doesn't lie, and we're clearly not an attacking side, because we don't do that enough. We haven't scored enough goals across the whole season. Should we be aiming for better than that? Should we just accept it? Is it that after 50 years of following Millwall, I say that's okay? It kind of is in a historical sense, but we live in the moment. We don't live 25 years ago when we were really crap or whatever the case may be. We live now. There's your conundrum for a Sunday morning, dear listener. I don't have an answer to that, but I do know that when a Millwall crowd turns, as it did yesterday, it really makes a quick journey back, if ever. I haven't seen it. So problems are plenty for Gary Rowett going into a tough Christmas. A few social media posts here. I got a message from Doug Hume from yesterday in Sweden. Absolutely diabolical, says Doug. We didn't work hard enough. We thought we only had to turn up. I think you're right, Doug. Subs should have been at half time or 50 minutes in. Yes. We were saying it in a stadium. I think everyone watching that game as it was unfolding could see the need to kill the midfield. It might have been boring to watch. We would have come home with 3 points rather than nothing, as we have. Doug continues, the only person who came out yesterday with any credit was Tom Bradshaw, and I think I would agree with that. It was a nice move for the goal. That's been said by Gary Rowett. Lion in waiting says Gary Rowett would be in serious trouble if Theo Pathetis was still at the helm. The fact he remains is the latest of a run of continuous poor decisions by John Berylson, who's a great benefactor but a poor chairman. A great benefactor but a poor chairman, says Lion in waiting. I'm loath to criticise a man that fronts up £13 million yearly, or something like it, 10 million yearly, to keep afloat a club that I've followed since 72, Lion in waiting. That's an interesting poser. I think it probably comes back to Aaron's point he made a few shows back now, where we don't really know what kind of club we are. What are we? I wouldn't go so far as to say a poor chairman. He's not a poor chairman. Anyone that pays that kind of money out cannot be called a poor chairman. But I do wonder what kind of club we are aiming to be. Paul Llewellyn asks a similar question. How the fuck do we go from smashing Birmingham to making Posh look like prime time Barcelona? This was the old Barcelona, listeners, not the one we've got at the moment. Players look lost and some looked uninterested. And that's an interesting take, Paul, because I think you're hitting a nail on the head there about uninterested. I do wonder what's what goes on behind closed doors, as Charlie Rich once sang, didn't he? What goes on behind? No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Steve Hudson touches on that. But there's something wrong with the mindset of the players, says Steve. Yeah, it does seem to be something amiss in the side, because we didn't look up for it yesterday. We had 2,500 roaring us on, and they gave good support across the whole game. Some will say, well, that's, you know, it's not good support to dig out the manager in a way and to boo them. But then that was at the end of a very, very, very disappointing performance. Steve continues, we turned up for 15 minutes, outplayed Peterborough. Keep calling Portsmouth. We got a deserved lead And then we thought that was job done. Criticising Rowett is fine, but we need someone on the pitch to scream at anyone not doing their job. Yeah, 100%, Steve, I agree with that. Kevin Fuller, very poor, he says. Management substitution, we should have realised we were second best when we were 1-0 ahead. With four players on a yellow, that's a good point, Kevin. Four players on a yellow, okay, the referee was poor, but we needed to have changed it then rather than waiting till we were losing and making a panic three-man sub. Very Holloway-like, says Kevin. DV is not a Gary Rowett fan, clearly. About time he was turned on, says DV. We have been more shit than often through this season with the odd performance papering over the cracks. Still some defend him, though. He's one of the most tactically inept managers we've ever had, says DV. Jim, same point, similar point. We're outnumbered in midfield, but as usual, Rowett just sits and watches, waiting for the inevitable equaliser. That is a criticism, I think, that is valid. I mean, we will have our budgetary limitations, listeners. We've said it a few times across the show. I won't hammer the £13 million loss that we've had this week, because there's much that's gone into that. Lockdown, COVID, all the rest of it. You know the story. But we do look, and I'm comparing with Peterborough's tactics yesterday, where they changed it. They brought on the striker, they got the two goals. Much, much more direct, much more pacey in the second half. Much more up for it. Let's get it right. Much more up for it in the second half, with a man brought on to try and convert some of the chances they were hoping to create. And they got paid up. We did. We looked like little lost lambs. Steve Lee, to finish, complacency after our goal and lack of composure is the root of our poor performance. The manager must take some responsibility for tactical inaction. Who says the league table never lies? The league table doesn't lie, Steve. And the bit of truth for everybody at the moment is that we are very, very, very middle of the table. We're sitting in the 11th position on 30 points, now 5 points off of 6 spots. And Peterborough, with that win, have risen, well, by their points have gone up by 3 points, 19 points. They're still 3 points short of relegation safety in 21st position, which is Reading at the moment, with carrying a penalty, of course. So we are where we deserve to be. The league table, in my opinion, does not lie. It cannot lie, not over the course of now 22 games. We'll see where we finish at the end of the 46-game season. But at the moment, we are deservedly and rightly 11th. And we can expect no more than that with performances such as we saw yesterday. Big thank you to everyone for catching up yesterday. I hadn't seen Mike physically before last week, and I've met him twice in a week, so there we are. Like London buses come along, don't they? All twice. I mean, so good to meet up with Mike and Harry, as well as Charlie and Andy. That's Mike, they're brothers of Harry and Mike, respectively. So good to see you all boys yesterday. Commiserations, I think, with the travelling support yesterday. It was a mill, good mill travelling support, and it all was frittered away. Final shout out for the two products we're pushing, Mill Who's Who by our colleague Neil Fisler, which is on victorpublishing.co.uk. Wonderful book, every Mill player there's ever been since 1885. Really good compilation book by Neil there, 1999 on victorpublishing.co.uk. Mill Who's Who, and also our own, if you can support it, the Achtung calendar is at the millsupportersclub.co.uk store. £13, which includes some postage and packing, but for the most part, at least a tenner of that's going to get donated to the Lions Food Hub, the Achtung calendar, featuring a commemoration of 50 years ago, 1971-72, the heartbreaking season. Heartbreak to start, listeners, and heartbreak yesterday to finish us off at Peterborough. So it goes. So huge thank you to you listeners for listening to the show and giving us your support. It's always appreciated. I think I'm going to call it quits on yesterday and look forward to next Saturday's home performance against Preston. Let's hope for a win next week. Try and lift our spirits for next weekend. Until then, dear listeners, from me, Nick Hart, it's Arrivederci Millwall. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.